Without further ado, at the bottom of 73b, it says the words, Mi beis horon ad yom medina achas, that from beis horon until the sea, it's one medina. And then the Gra erases the next two words. Well, maybe we'll see why he does that. It's not going to make that big a difference in the pshat, but whatever. So on the next page, Ayin Dalet. Today's daf is Ayin Dalet 74. Or maybe I can. Adi Yeshu Har Ushvei Levaimek. Beis Horon also has these three types of regions. It has mountains, it has lowlands, it has valleys. And then he defines them. He says from Beis Horon until Imus is the higher part, Imus until Lod is the Shvela part, Lod until Yam is the Amic part. So Beis Horon, if you look in the back, you'll see the map has it very clearly laid out. Yeah, it's a very large area. In footnote 1, there's a machlok, it's exactly where it is.
Right down, yeah. Okay, right below it.
Yeah. Anyway. So I'm not going to get into the geography right now. But anyway, so the question is, you might ask, Nisni Arba, why in the Mishnah does it say that there are three lands, so there are three regions, meaning Judea, the Galilee, and the Evayarden. What about Beis Horon? Why, since Beis Horon also has these three separate types of topography, so therefore, why isn't it also listed as a fourth land? So the answer is Me'uravotein, that the sublands are combined with one another. They're not considered separate regions, and therefore, all Beis Horon is one. Therefore, it's not counted separately. It's basically what it says. Now, number two, it says that the region of Beis Horon is primarily a valley. There's some mountains, there's some flatlands, but basically everything is one area. So the animals obviously are going throughout Beis Horon equally. Next, Tony. So now this is an interesting halacha. Surya, of course, as we know, is kibush yachid. And it does not have halacha like Eretz Yisrael proper, but min rabbanon, they gave it certain halachas. So they give it a din of shvius. They gave it a din that the things that grow there have kedusha shvius. But as far as beer is concerned, it's also beer. It also has a halacha of beer. So that means,
because it comes off of
shvius. Yeah, but you could have, in theory, shvius without beer. It is possible. So, and we're going to see. We're going to ask a question right now. Why? Hold on a second. So the Gemara, first let's understand what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that even though you have these three different types of land, mountains and valleys, and what's the other one? Lowlands. Mountains, lowlands, and valleys, it doesn't matter. Ein shalosh arutzos. Meaning, the entire Surya is like one land. As long as there's any food anywhere in Surya, you're okay, you can keep eating it until it's Zman Habir. Now here's the question. That he brings like this. On the Mishnas Yosef, it's in the second column on footnote 4. Question from the Mishnas Yosef like this: that according to many Rishonim, we talked about this I think the other day, based on a question you asked me. There's no beer requirement for produce of lands that were conquered by Lo'ele Mitzrayim and not by Olei Bavel. Okay? According to some Rishonim, not all Rishonim, according to many Rishonim, there's no beer requirement if it's Olei Mitzrayim and not Olei Bavel. So, hold on a second. According to this Shita, so it should be obvious there's no beer requirement at all in Surya. Because the Kedusha Surya is certainly less than the Olei Mitzrayim. Because Surya is just Kibush Yachid. It's totally, does not have Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. So at least Olei Mitzrayim at one time had Kedusha Eretz Yisrael. But So according to those Rishonim who hold that Ole Mitzrayim don't have beer at all, right?
Seriously.
The question is, why would Surya have beer? Our Gemara says that there's no Shalosh Aratzis for beer in Surya. But the basic halacha of beer, there certainly is. That there's no question about. It's just that you can use the whole Surya as one large lamp. But once the whole Surya is emptied, you have to do beer. So why is it? That's the question he's asking. Why is it that when it comes to beer, Surya is going to be chayv in beer? When it comes to the lands that were kibush, Ole Mitzrayim, and not Ole Bavel, it won't be subject to beer. That's the question. Okay? Mm-hmm. He answers the following. The Chachamim's objective in decreeing Shvius laws in Surya was to ensure that Jews would not settle there in order to avoid, to evade, the laws of Shvius. We didn't want that to happen. So how do we stop them from going there? We create Hilcha Shvius in that area. So you're not going to accomplish anything moving there. They're going to have the same crime rate that they have here. You're not going to be able to escape. Shvius here, Shvius there, so Shvius everywhere. So you're not going to gain it by moving to Surya. Fine. In order to make that Takana work, you had to go full throttle, both Hilcha Shvius all the way through beer in order to discourage moving there.
But
if there's no beer, that wouldn't be it would be less difficult to live there than is Eretz Yisrael. You wouldn't really accomplish it completely. So in order to make it mamish the same as Eretz Yisrael, so it had all the halachas. Masha Enkein Oile Mitzrayim. There, Chazal did not feel it was proper to discourage moving there. It wouldn't be proper to discourage. That's what he says here.
Is that a contradiction?
The rabbis felt the fulfillment of this objective required the imposition of beer. By contrast, in the areas that were conquered after the Egyptian exile, but not by Ole Bavel, Jewish settlement was not viewed as something to be avoided, since these areas are ultimately a part of Eretz Yisrael.
They will be.
They are a part of Eretz Yisrael. I didn't say it has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It's a part of Eretz Yisrael.
Because they will be in the future.
They will have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael in the future. But as being defined as Eretz Yisrael, that's true from the time of Avraham Avinu. Okay? Therefore, no beer requirement was enacted in those areas. Okay?
What are those areas called? Do you know?
Ole Mitzrayim. On the map, it's north of anything north of we went through this anything north of we had Akko, I think it's Shalosh Akko, north of Akko.
Yeah, Akko.
Whatever. It was a Shiloh exactly where it was. Well, we went through all that earlier. Okay, that was a very important. So that was a very important a little footnote about Ein Surya Shalosh Aratzis. Okay. Okay, now Reb Shimon said the only place where there are three aratzes, this is the sheet of Reb Shimon, he's a Tana in the Mishnah who argues on Tanakama. Tanakama said there were shalosh aratzes, and Reb Shimon said no, only one area has shalosh aratzes, and that's Yehuda. All the other places are tali in what? The mountain of the king, the Haram, whatever you call it in Hebrew. Haram Melech, is it called Haram Melech? Anyway. So now the Gemara is going to talk about his view. Asa Chameik, let's come and see. The mountain of Yehuda is more than that. Asa Chameik, come, let's see. Well, the Gemara is now going to point out what we're going to see is really a question on Reb Shimon's Shita. It's a certain anomaly in the logic in terms of based on the position geographically and the svara that we've been saying in terms of animals, it's not going to work out too well. Well, listen to the question. It's very easy, actually.
The animals won't go there.
Elaine Amik Shabi Yehuda, when it comes to the people who are in the valley of Yehuda, Eino Eichel Adha Yehuda, you can't eat if there's food in the mountain of Yehuda. In other words, once you run out in the valley, you got to stop eating. It's time of beer has arrived. That's what Reb Shimon holds. There is Shalosh Aratzis LeYehuda. Mm-hmm. Now, So even if there are fruits that are extant on the mountain of the king, which is in the mountainous area of Yehuda, okay? Remember, the mountain of the king is in Yehuda's land. Mm-hmm. It's an important point to keep in mind. Now, Emek Shebegalil, now, if you're in the valley in Galil, which according to Reb Shimon is what? Is Tali in what area? In the mountain of the king. You can continue to eat an Emek of the Galil until the mountain of the king is finished. That's what he said. All other areas besides Yehuda are Tali in the mountain of the king. So, Eichel Ad Har Yehuda. You're eating until the beer time of the mountain of Yehuda. Even if the fields of the Galilean valley are empty, you don't have to perform beer. Oh, so now that is a kasha. Because, let's see how he brings it over here. In footnote 6, look at Tepnei Moshe. He maintains the most questioning the view of Reb Shimon as follows. If the animals won't travel from the valley of Yehuda to the mountain, which are adjacent to each other, they're right next door to each other. You have the valley, next to the valley are the mountains. But we're saying that it's Shalosh Aratzos, and therefore the animals won't travel from the valley in Yehuda up the mountain, right? So they certainly won't travel from the valley of the Galilee to the mountains of Yehuda, which are distant from each other. They are miles apart. So the animals are going to go from that valley of Galil all the way up to the mountain of Yehuda? Does that make any sense? That's the kasha. It follows if the beer deadline of the Judean Valley does not depend upon the disappearance of produce from its mountain, then the deadline of the Galilean Valley should certainly not depend on the disappearance of this produce. That's the question the Gemara is asking here. According to Thaymisha, that's how he's learning the Gemara. So, and it does not resolve the question. It's a bomb kasha. Next. We're saying all Eretz Yisrael is like one as far as olives is concerned, as far as dates are concerned. And the Gemara adds, Tony Afla Haruvin is also true of carobs, of bucks. Tony. That the Shvi'is date, the dates that Yericho, apparently that was the area where the major dates, I think you can see it.
They're still out of Yom HaZeh.
You can see out of Yom HaZeh. You can see this huge date.
It's a city of dates.
City of dates. It's called the Eretz Forum. Yeah. Have you ever gone, to En Gedi and bought from the Jericho dates over there? Yeah. I never knew whether I have to take Mises, don't have to take Mises. It's a problem over there. But those dates look awfully good. Anyway, so the Gemara is saying, basically, once the dates have been depleted in the Jericho area, then you know there's no dates anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael, because that's like the prime date land, right? Well, Hazei Simachi Yichlo, Mimiron, Migush Kolov, these are another two places where, I guess, there are a lot of olives over there. So once those places were empty of olives, you can assume there's none anywhere else in Eretz Yisrael. It would be like saying in the United States, once there's no more oranges in Florida, there's no more oranges anywhere, Florida oranges, right? Mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm. Now, Eichlan al Hamuvkar. This Mishnah. When I read this Mishnah, I was blown away by the logic over here. This is like a very strange Mishnah. It says like this: we're talking about, still talking about beer, about eating your peiros in your house. And if there's food in the field for the animals, right? So you can continue to eat. So now, let me ask you a question without even looking at the Mishnah. Let's suppose I'll give you two cases. One is I've got a backyard which is completely closed, walled in. No animals can get in there. But there's still fruit on the tree. So I'm going to tell you, there's still fruit in the sodah. I can go ahead and eat it in my kitchen because there's still yesh peirot basadeh and eat achol achol achshav. Does that make any sense? The reason why there's fruit in the sadeh is because you have a kir, a koma that surrounds your yard, preventing any animals from being able to get there. So if I state up, there's still fruit on the tree. So what are you fooling yourself? Your neighbor has no wall around his backyard. The animals roamed freely in his yard, and they consumed everything in sight, and there's nothing left. So are you going to be able to say, I can eat based on the food in my backyard? That's what the Mishnah starts off with. First of all, it says, Oichlan al-hamufker. You can eat if the field food is if hefker, then you can continue to eat. V'loyal ha-shamor, but not if you have it protected, doesn't make any sense, right? That's what the Tanakhama says. And I thought that was like irrefutable. But guess what? Wrong. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, afal ha-shamor. Rabbi Yossi comes along and says, this wild thing, he says, you can continue to eat in your kitchen, even though the fruit that or the food, whatever it is, that you're measuring against is shamor. It's surrounded by a wall. Unbelievable. That's a B.I.C. sheet. Eichlanat fochen, you can eat on the basis of birdhouses.
Birdhouses.
What's really going on here is like this. So they used to have, I think it's going to say it over here, in 11, it says, the Mishnah refers to clay vessels that were made for birds to nest in, which were attached to the walls of buildings. The birds were to collect the food here. Okay, this is the finish over here. So the birds are collecting the food from the field, and they're plopping it into their little clay container over there on the wall. And so that's called, it's available to the Chayah Shebesodeh, even though it's high up, and a Chayah Shebesodeh won't even be able to get to it, but the bird can get to it, that's good enough. So it's not in its natural place even, but we still consider it available, which is a big kiddush over here. So, as long as there's Shvias produce found in the birdhouses, the produce stored in the houses is not subject to beer. That's it. Now, he has a discussion here whether this statement is true both according to the Tanakhama and according to Rabbi Yossi, or perhaps this is only according to Rabbi Yossi. He has a discussion here in the footnote. You know, I ain't sure if you're interested in this area. Ahadifra, and this is talking about difra is a concatenation of two words, du. You people who speak French, I know that du means two, right? So it's du difra, it means two fruits. It means it produces two fruits in a year. Uh-huh. It's an Aramaic word, right? Difra. Uh-huh. And on account of the second crop of a twice-bearing tree. So in other words, it means like this. Let's suppose you have a tree in your backyard that it produces two outputs a year, right? Mm-hmm. You go ahead and you pick some fruit from the first output, right? First crop, mm-hmm. right? And you have that in your kitchen. Now the first crop disappears from the field. Uh-huh. Now a second crop grows from it. You can continue to eat from the first crop on the basis of the second crop, mm-hmm. even though the first crop is completely gone. But since there's two crops from this field, from this tree, good enough. That's what the kiddush over here is. Pretty big kiddush. What?
You can eat the first one.
You can continue to eat. You can continue to eat from the first one on the basis of the second one, even though there's nothing left from the first group. That's what it seems to say.
Because people won't think that you're.
It's not a question of thinking. It's considered one. It's considered one crop. In other words, even though there's two separate things, but it's one crop because it's 1 year. That's what it says here. Certain fruit-bearing trees are able to produce two crops in a single growing season. You can continue eating the earlier crop even though after it's no longer available in the field, as long as the later crop is still available. I mean, that's basically what I just told you.
What about in the interim before there's a later crop?
I think you know that another one's coming, I guess. I mean, it's a good question. I don't know. You're right. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, you're right. I maybe during that interim period, you wouldn't be able to eat. And then what would you do? You would do a beer where you just sit tight and wait until the second crop comes and then start eating again? I'm not sure. It's a good question. I don't know. I would assume, really, that either it's overlaps, as you say, or since you know it's coming anyway, it's not considered call. That's what I'm saying. Next on the base, of a lo ahasisvanios. Okay, let's go. We're way behind over here. Not on account of the winter grapes. Now the winter grapes, this is you have to hulk up over here. Winter grapes have this funny thing that they really grow for the most part, not completely. They start growing in the seventh year, but they continue to grow into the eighth year. That's what it says here. They're not ready for picking until the winter of the eighth year. Now, even the grapes picked in the eighth year are classified as shvius if they developed sufficiently during the seventh year. That is to say, their seeds were visible from the outside, right? That's what we said the shear was. So, if somebody sees you, so let's say what we're saying here. So, you might say like this, look, it's not kol chayim and asodah for the grapes of the seventh year, because here, look, I've got these grapes in the eighth year, which started in the seventh year, so these, I should be able to continue to eat on the basis of these sisvonios. The Mishnah tells me I can't. It's a din d'rabbanan. It's because people are going to look at it and think that this grew in the eighth. It's like a gzera. That's the way I understood it. Winter grapes constitute an exception to the rule. These grapes generally emerge at the very end of the seventh year because their period of growth takes place during the eighth year. They are more readily confused with the fruit of that year, cannot serve as a basis for continued consumption of shvius produce. All right, so it's an exception. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't. But there has to be that the winter grapes emerged before the grape harvest ended in the seventh year. So there's a condition. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah, which says that as long as that says what, that if it's protected, that it does not work for you to be a measure of beer. That's from Shimon Shita. The Ksiv, it says in Pasuk, Min ha-sadeh to'chlu es tvu'asah. Now, if you look back on 73a, we quoted already a Pasuk on 73a. It says, Limhem to'chov la'chayu asher v'atzecho t'hi ha-kol tvu'asah la'chol, chos man sh'chayu chalas min ha-sadeh ha-behem lo'chalas min ha-bayis. Over here, we're quoting a different Pasuk. Min ha-sadeh to'chlu es tvu'asah. Which basically it's saying the same thing, but the reason why we quote this pasuk is because sadeh is an indicator. It's mashma hefker. Okay, so therefore, that's what they say. Field implies open, unguarded. Okay, let's go on. My turn to Shimon, and Rav Shimon says exactly what I told you before. You're the cause of it not being able to be eaten because you surrounded it with a wall. Now, the truth of the matter is, the parish on the bottom points this out, and as he says, it's a very good comment, that we just quoted a pasuk. What are you saying, my timer? We quoted the pasuk. The pasuk says sadeh. The sadeh is mashman, has to be hefker, so that's why it's not going to work. Because we're going like Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon is Darish time of the Korah, so the Gemara adds on a time. Well, what's the reason for the Gzeres HaKosev? Because we're going in the Shita of Reb Shimon. So that's a nice little Ian in number six. Next, the Mishnah said, you can eat stored Shvius produce on account of the produce found in the birdhouses. Masnisa Derb Yaisi. The Tani in Eichel HaTfachim Shuvah Akko, the Tanakama, who argues on Rabbi Yossi, says you cannot eat produce on account of the produce in the birdhouses. And it points out that are in Akko, because Akko apparently was a big bird city. It says on the bottom of the page that Akko was a city that had plentiful supply of birdhouses. And
birdhouses.
Yeah, and the occupants collected considerable amounts of grain. This Tana holds that is not considered grain for the beasts. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the Tana Kama of Rabbi Yossi. Yomer, Eichel HaTfachim Shuvah Akko, that you can eat. So our mission is like Rabbi Yossi. Our mission is quoting Rabbi Yossi. So Tana Kama said again, beer is delayed by the second crop of twice bearing trees, but not winter grapes. Rabbi Yossi holds you can, as long as it ended, as long as the winter grapes started to grow before the shvius grapes were finished with their harvest. Rabbi Yossi, Havin Savan Meimer Mafligin, Rabbi Yossi Rabbanan Besisvanios. So we thought that what they disagree with the winter grapes, but what about the second part? What about the different? What about the twice bearing trees? Law, we thought they do not disagree as far as that was concerned. So Ashkach Toni, however, we later discovered that he allows the consumption of stored produce on account of the second crop, but only Hemshah Bechuach Leichah HaKais. Even in that case, this is what this is your point. It had to start growing. The second crop had to start growing before the first crop was finished. But the Tanakhama doesn't agree with Rabbi Yossi. They argue about that point. So I'm sorry. The answer to your question is it's a machlokes Tanoim. So the Tanakhama, even if it hasn't started to grow yet, you still can rely on it. It's the favorite of the Gemara. Next, this last thing we did many times already, so we can go through it quickly. You have three different types of vegetables being pickled in one barrel. Each vegetable has its own end to the chaya in the soda, obviously. So what do you do? Am I allowed to continue to eat everything? Or can I eat nothing? How do you do it? So Eliezer says, you can only eat in the barrel as long as the first one's available. Once the first one's no longer available, you can't eat anything. No, you can eat until the last one is not longer available. And then you have the third view, Rabbi Gamliel, that's what I would have said. Rabbi Gamliel says, pick out each one. So when the tomatoes are gone, you can no longer eat the tomatoes. When the cucumbers are gone, you can no longer eat the pickles. You know.
The problem is they're in one barrel, and one absorbs from the other. Yeah. That's why you can't say that.
So that's the question. So maybe there's no problem with Tom Kaker when it comes to Tom by beer. Well, I'm not sure.
Maybe it's not kosher.
You know what? We'll have to learn the Gemara. We're just getting started here. Yevarim minu min hachavos, you get rid of it from each one. And Rav Shimon says, Rav Shimon ends the Mishnah, call yarak yachas lebir, all vegetables are one, as long as any vegetable of any type remain in the field, all species of stored vegetables can be eaten. In other words, you don't look when it comes to vegetables. You don't start looking at the cucumbers, at the tomatoes, at the all vegetables. As long as there's some vegetable out there, you can continue to eat all your tomatoes and all your cucumbers.
Amen.
Amen. I didn't make a bracha. Eichlin Berigila. He finishes. We can all eat vegetables on account of purslane, which I guess is the vegetable that lingers the longest. That's a little tongue twister for you. Lingers the longest, and achiyuchlo sandias mibekas basin tofa until such time as the hidden purslane disappears from basin tofa, whatever that means. So that's the longest possible time. And with that, we end daf ayin dalet. Thank you very much. I again apologize for being late today.